And today is either the last or the next to last day in the KSFR Summer Fun Drive, and I am joined by Jason Silverman, who's director of the Cinematheque at the CCA. Welcome, Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning. So it is time for those who have not yet called 428-1393 to do so. Wait, I have to say it more slowly. 428-1393, 428-1393, and make a pledge to KSFR. David Barsamian, the wonderful radio host of alternative radio and writer and interviewer, is going to be here with us in just a few minutes talking about targeting Iran. Well, that was the name of his book, but talking about what's going on in terms of U.S.-Iranian politics, and he will be in Santa Fe tomorrow night talking about the same subject at the Unitarian Church. But right now, Jason, you are the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA, which is doing fabulous things.
Yeah, it's been a good run. We just installed our new seats and finished our renovation, which is exciting because we spent about a year and a half working on that.
And it's super deluxe.
It's not quite super. It's just regular deluxe.
Okay. It's regular deluxe. It's deluxe. It's wonderful in there.
It used to be a black box with auditorium seating, and now it's kind of like, it's luxurious.
It's a movie theater where you can really sit in lovely chairs and see good projection, unlike certain malls that will go nameless at this moment.
Which ones? it's all about the movies and the audiences, and we want them to be comfortable watching the movies. We want the movies to look great. And so, of course, you know, raising money is always something that we have to do. We have to do on a regular basis, on a daily basis, to keep our organization going. And, of course, KSFR has a great way of doing it. Twice a year? Three times a year?
Yeah, several times a year. It's two or three, depending on the year, depending on how we're doing. And we're doing pretty well this year. We have $13,000, I think, left to go in our $70,000 fund drive, so we hope to get that done today or at the latest tomorrow. Should we set a goal for this hour?
Maybe.
We've been breaking 1,000 every day. Should we go for 1,200?
Oh, yeah.
All right, $1,200, 428-1393, 428-1393. Make a call to KSFR.
Well, what I was going to say is when you do something like KSFR or the CCA, when you do something out of love rather than love of money, it takes support from everyone. It takes a village to run a KSFR or to run a CCA.
It's true.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, I look forward now to raising money because that's what it takes to do it. It's part of who we are. We're a community organization, and everyone's chips in, and if everyone chips in, it feels like our place. You know, it feels like something that we as a community own. And certainly KSFR is, you know, the community's
it's
best example of it.
It's your community radio station, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the place where we call it listener-supported public radio. And listener-supported means that twice a year we give you the opportunity not only to call, but to tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like about KSFR programming, and let your feelings influence the way the station goes. I mean, I don't get that much feedback from listeners, but occasionally I'll get somebody saying something like, "Ugh, I can't believe you had that person on," or "Oh, that was great." And I definitely listen. I mean, it makes a difference in people's constructive criticism. I've rarely gotten really nasty emails. I don't think I've ever gotten a just plain old
no hate
evil,
mail.
Hate, nasty email.
Death threats.
Nothing like that. Yeah, death threats. You talked about how cute puppies are.
I know, the cats versus dogs is probably the...
That's right. Yeah, the cat people.
One that raises everyone's ire. No, I've got KSFR as my default station in my car. I'm still one of those people who listens to radio in the car.
Everybody still listens to radio in the car.
And there's always something weird and wonderful. You know, I was driving home late the other night, and Steve Terrell's show was on, and then you get the BBC, and you get your show, and Living Juicy, and everything else that's grand, and people, you don't realize it because you're in the atmosphere where this is available all the time, but it's really special for a city of this size to have a radio station this diverse and professional. With there's so much content that that you won't hear anywhere else.
And to have so many locally produced shows. I think that's the thing also that I find really important about KSFR. There's a lot of radio stations that hook into their distributor, whether it be NPR or whatever, and those are the shows they use. That service offers a whole bunch of things, and so they'll have the syndicated jazz show and the syndicated news show and so on, and that's it. And you don't get that local flavor the way you do here.
Yeah. People take it for granted. People take a lot of what Santa Fe has for granted, and not realizing just how incredible the culture in this town is. You know, with Atlantic and with like Santa Fe and the opera and the 24 small arts organizations and the CCA and the Children's Museum and all of these people who are doing this incredible work day after day, it really enriches our culture. And the default, if you don't have that, is the commodity culture. It's going to the mall,
right,
or it's watching TV, which, you know, you can watch TV if you want to, but it isn't the same thing as going out and sitting next to your neighbor watching, you know, a locally produced play.
Exactly.
It's a different texture. And a lot of places, especially a town the size of Santa Fe, don't have options anything near what we have.
We are 1/60th of our way to our $1,200 goal. We've got to get going. 4281393.
It was my understanding there would be no math.
I'll do the math for both of us, Jason. 4281393, Jason Silverman from the CCA and David Barsamian about to join us by telephone. So you have been supporting KSFR for a long time.
Since I moved here.
Yeah, which was how long?
I'm in year 21 now.
You're in year 21. We've been here around the same amount of time, and the city of Santa Fe has grown and changed tremendously in that time.
Yeah, I'm such a big believer in public media. Most developed countries have public media that's supported much more completely by the federal government. And, you know, you get... We showed a film a few months ago called Black Power Mixtape about...
Oh, that was a great movie.
Right, right. You ended up interviewing
the
filmmaker.
Yeah, the director.
Well, what's interesting is that the Swedish public TV had one of the most active journalistic corps in the world. And so all of this footage came from Sweden's public media. And it was all incredible footage of the Black Power movement. And it just made me think about what can happen if the community, if the public supports our storytelling environment, our storytelling landscape, rather than corporations.
4281393, my sentiments exactly. David Barsamian joins us right now by telephone. He is the host of Alternative Radio, and he has written dozens and dozens of books of political writing and interviews, and he will be here in Santa Fe tomorrow night, Friday, July 6th at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, talking about the U.S. and Israel war on Iran. Welcome, David.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be on the Morning Cafe with you and Jason.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. So let's just talk about, well, first of all, just for 1 minute, give us a little plug on why people should get to their telephones right now. 4281393.
KSFR is an island of audio independence in a sea of corporate-controlled media, where news is carefully filtered and important information is either distorted or excluded altogether or occluded. So it's very important to support a community-based radio station like KSFR, which is providing news and information to listeners in the Santa Fe area.
That is what I would say also about your show, Alternative Radio, which I've been listening to since I moved to Santa Fe, which was also about, 22 years ago. And that was a program that provided for me a political and intellectual education that I just hadn't had until that point. Made a huge difference in my own life. And the subject of Iran is one example of where you bring so much light and clarity to an issue that turns into kind of aggressive talking points without any depth or without any history when we hear them in the so-called mainstream or corporate media. We, under the Bush administration, had a bunch of saber-rattling toward Iran, and then for whatever, why didn't we go to war with them at that point, and what's happening now?
Well, we didn't attack Iran, which was certainly part of the Bush-Cheney war doctrine. They said, you know, we'd first go to Baghdad and then to, but real men go to Tehran, I believe was the quote. Well, the Iraqis had something to do with that, as well as the Afghans, and the U.S. got bogged down in what was supposed to be very lightning, blitzkrieg-like wars, and were unable to pursue an attack on Iran. It has now been revived in the last couple of years, particularly with tremendous political pressure exerted by Benjamin Netanyahu, the hawkish prime minister of Israel, to goad the United States into attacking a country which is not threatening the United States. Nevertheless, the U.S. has again, just in the last couple of days, deployed more warships to the Persian Gulf. I would urge listeners to just get out an atlas and look at the map. Iran is completely surrounded by U.S. military bases. Iran has virtually no air force. Its navy, which the New York Times and NPR and other, you know, august media outlets would have us believe is some powerful force, consists largely of speedboats and Coast Guard cutters and the like. So this threat has been hyped up by Obama, and I think it has a definite political component. Democratic presidents have to prove their military credentials. They cannot appear in the U.S. discourse to be weak, to be on the defensive. They cannot be replicating Chamberlain at Munich and, you know, waving a piece of paper and holding an umbrella and saying, you know, we have peace in Europe has been secured. So there's tremendous political pressure on Obama, not just coming from Israel, but also for domestic political reasons, to act tough and conduct this extremely, on a rhetorical level, a very bellicose campaign. I mean, when the most powerful military in the world says that all options are on the table and deploys massive amounts of force to back up those kinds of threats, that is something that I think we as citizens have to resist. We have to be aware of. The City Council of Santa Fe a month ago overwhelmingly passed a resolution declaring that the people of Santa Fe are opposed to a military attack on Iran and that no U.S. weapons should be used to attack Iran. And that resolution was sent to Obama and to the New Mexico congressional delegation. This follows other cities and towns around the country who have adopted similar resolutions, including Boulder, Colorado. So the threat of war ebbs and flows. It's like the phases of the moon. Right now, it's again being hyped, and I think, you know, largely for political reasons.
We're talking to David Barsamian. The number for the fund drive is 428-1393. If you like what you're hearing, if it's important to you to hear perspectives like this one, please give us a call right now and make a pledge. We've got a couple of phone calls so far. We'll have some thank yous in a few moments, but we really would love to hear from you and love to hear your support for KSFR and specifically for the Radio Cafe, 428-1393. David Barsamian, in a couple of days ago, we had on the air American historian Kirk Ellis, and we were talking about the use of war and the use of diplomacy in the United States historically. And although it may not seem like it, we have actually been a nation that used diplomacy as much as we've used war in the past. Why are we so completely dependent on our military as opposed to our State Department at this point in history?
Well, it's an interesting question, because if you look at the federal budget and see how much is allocated to the imperial war machine and how much is allocated to, let's say, diplomacy, you know, represented by the State Department, it's the imbalance is simply off the charts. The Pentagon is secures well over 50% of discretionary income in the federal budget. You know, the military-industrial complex is alive and well. Eisenhower warned us about it 50 years ago. It has expanded much more since then. Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin. New Mexico, incidentally, is at the heart of the military-industrial complex with its mass, you know, the weapons labs at Sandia and Los Alamos. It's also host to numerous military and Air Force bases all over the state, and this is a state which I don't have to tell you or your listeners, you know, ranks at the bottom or near the bottom on many social welfare indices, including education and health as well. So the military also has very cleverly over the years situated production facilities in various congressional districts all over the country. So I don't know how accurate the often quoted comment is that in practically every congressional district, there is some aspect of the military-industrial complex which inhibits our so-called representatives in Washington from voting against this or that particular weapons project. Now, the U.S. is planning a whole new fleet of jet planes, the F-35s. It's planning more and more naval vessels, submarines, aircraft carriers. The amount of money that the Pentagon is sucking out of the federal budget, you know, at a time of massive unemployment, foreclosures, people, students unable to pay their tuitions because of skyrocketing tuition costs, one has to think about, you know, the role that the military plays in the U.S. economy. And one of the common tropes about it is that, well, you know, these are jobs, you know, these are jobs. Well, they are jobs, but they're very few jobs because it's well known and numerous studies have documented this, that military spending is quite capital intensive, but it is not labor intensive. It doesn't produce a lot of jobs. Many more jobs can be created by building what are badly needed schools and hospitals and health clinics and things like that, rather than gold-plated weapon systems.
Well, we have talked about that here on this program and here in New Mexico, where the question of whether to build a multi-billion dollar plutonium complex at Los Alamos versus taking that money and putting it into clean energy. The amount of money, if you took those billions and put them into a renewable energy economy and figured out how to do energy storage in a way that was efficient on a mass scale and economical on a mass scale, I mean, the state of New Mexico would be a leader in not only the country, but probably the world.
I believe you have quite a bit of sunlight there, if memory serves.
I did notice that. We did have some sun yesterday. 428-1393, by the way. The phones are ringing in a rather lackadaisical fashion, but
well,
they are ringing.
They have to be ringing off the hook. 428-1393. That is your ticket to supporting what Mary Charlotte's been doing over many, many years. And if you don't mind me saying, you know, I think you do one of the best programs of its kind in the United States. And there you are in Santa Fe, New Mexico, holding forth every weekday morning at 8 o'clock. So show your support for Mary Charlotte and the tremendous effort that she makes. I know very, very few programmers, producers who spend as much time preparing for a program. And you can hear it in the product. You can, excuse that commercial term, but you can hear it in the quality of the interviewing that Mary Charlotte brings to you. So come on, KSFR listeners, Radio Cafe listeners, call 428-1393 and show your support for KSFR.
Thank you so much, David. That's very kind words on your part.
So, David, if this is really true, all that you're saying, not to be a skeptic, then why aren't I hearing it on NBC News and reading about it in the New York Times or seeing it on CNN?
Well, it's the counter-narrative. You see, if you are... if you're espousing the official story that the United States is surrounded and besieged by enemies, that it always is a victim of external attacks, it never initiates anything, then, you know, that's the official narrative. But if you challenge that, it won't get any print space, it won't get any airtime at all, because that's not what the, you know, ruling class wants to be propagated throughout the country. I mean, we have a very sophisticated propaganda system in the U.S., and, you know, all the more reason to support KSFR, because it does provide a microphone, a lens into some alternative perspectives and views. So corporate control of the media, which has been, again, well documented, there are now five corporations that basically control what American citizens see, hear, and read, and that accounts for the kind of outcomes that we have in terms of jingoism, xenophobia, and sheer ignorance of the rest of the world. Now, if you read the conventional media, the mainstream media, you would think, well, Iran is this very aggressive country. It has a history of war making. It has a powerful military. Well, you know, Iran has not invaded another country in 250 years. I don't think you could go through 2.5 years of U.S. history and make that kind of statement.
Well, David, I thought the issue wasn't that Iran is going to attack or invade anybody, but rather that they were going to develop a nuclear weapon and become a nuclear power. Isn't that sort of what the rhetoric is about?
Well, that's the bludgeon, that's the cudgel that's being used to corner Iran and impose the most severe sanctions regime in the history of the world. And we saw in Iraq in the 1990s what kind of outcome sanctions produce. Who suffers? The people in the streets suffer, the common people. There are 80 million people in Iran. Every one of them is not Ahmadinejad or the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini. It is a rich culture with tremendous diversity and enormous traditions in poetry and music. And so the Iran is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Under this stipulations of the treaty, it has the absolute legal right to enrich uranium for the production of atomic energy. Other countries, such as India, Pakistan, which is just a neighbor of Iran to the east, and Israel, which is not very far away, have hundreds of nuclear weapons, have the ability to deliver those weapons through sophisticated missile systems, and they are not signatories to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. They are not being singled out. Iran is being singled out. I think it has a lot to do with vengeance and my godfather theory of how U.S. foreign policy works. The United States has never forgiven Iran for overthrowing the Shah, its pet ally in the Middle East, and creating the Islamic Republic, which immediately withdrew itself from the orbit of American imperial power in the Middle East. And so the Non-Proliferation Treaty has all kinds of stipulations and allows for inspectors to visit these sites. According to Leon Panetta, who's no left-wing radical, when asked on CBS Reports, 60 Minutes, he was asked straight out, is Iran developing nuclear weapons? He said no. So, I mean, report after report from Joint Chiefs of Staff and others, including Israeli intelligence people, is that Iran is not developing weapons-enriched uranium. That's the key point here. And by the way, it would take them years, even if they did develop this uranium to the point where it could be used for an atomic weapon, then they don't have any delivery system. So I think this is all part of a propaganda onslaught, and we as citizens need to insulate ourselves, to inoculate ourselves from these toxins and poisons that the corporate media and the political leadership, which largely informs the corporate media, from injecting into our bloodstream and into our consciousness.
428-1393. We're talking to David Barsamyan, host of Alternative Radio, and Jason Silverman, the director of the Cinematheque here in Santa Fe at the CCA, and we are over a quarter of the way to our goal, and we have a lot of thank yous. Mary Lynn.
Yes, Stella Reed, who loves you, Mary Charlotte.
Oh, thank you.
Marilyn Bain.
Thank you so much.
Karen Roybal.
Yay.
Roball, I think.
Okay.
Linda Larkin.
Thank you, Linda.
David Aubrey.
Yay.
Francoise Becker.
Wonderful.
And Jane, who is a fan both of the cafe and Alternative Radio. And then there's an anonymous.
Oh, an anonymous. 428-1393. If you support KSFR, please support us right now. If you like KSFR, put your money where your mouth is. Just make a little contribution or a big contribution. Big is good, but any contribution of any size is wonderful. 428-1393.
So, David, you go to the places that you write about. I mean, you've been to Iran, you've been to Pakistan, spent a lot of time in India when you can get in. It seems like having journalists on the ground in these places, the foreign news bureaus, that's an old template. It doesn't seem like we have the same kind of coverage from the major news sources through foreign correspondents as we once did. Is that true?
It's absolutely true, and it's a very, very unfortunate consequence, but logical consequence of the monopoly control of the media by a handful of corporations whose sole goal is to maximize profit and to set up a bureau, let's say, in Dhaka in Bangladesh, and to staff that bureau with a reporter or two, and as well as local reporters, costs a lot of money. And so corporations are simply driven by profits. They're not interested in the public welfare or the public need to know. So you have case after case now. I mean, the Los Angeles Times, San Francisco Chronicle, The New York Times, I mean, the best papers in the country have closed many of their foreign bureaus and have laid off many, many journalists. So there are far fewer people in the field, except you have, celebrity journalists who compete for the best hair on the air, like Diane Sawyer or Martha Raddatz, who fly in a U.S. Air Force plane, huddling with top-ranking generals about strategies in Afghanistan and what a danger Pakistan poses. They do those, kind of 48-hour, 72-hour fly-in, with a backdrop of a mosque or a hotel in the background, and that's considered a reportage. That's considered investigative journalism. It's more like infotainment. They are actually becoming sounding boards for the Imperial War Machine, for the Pentagon, how it feels, what weapons need to be deployed. Are the drone attacks effective or not in Pakistan? Nobody raises the question, or would even dare raise the question, that all of these are basically illegal activities under international law. So I think, that's been a huge negative outcome, and it has produced, I think, a level, unfortunately, of ignorance here in the United States about the rest of the world.
428-1393, 428-1393. And I think also, David, one thing that's really problematic to me is that when you bring up issues like the ones that you are bringing up, a lot of people who listen to the corporate media, the mainstream media, on a regular basis, instead of engaging with you on the level of, gee, is that true? Let's look at the facts. Let's look at the history. They'll say, oh, well, that's the leftist position. And then it's the end of conversation.
Yes, that's, the term leftist or, Marxist has pretty much been reduced to a descriptive term of derision. They want you to, to just, go away. This doesn't fit, the official story. You're outside, you're outside the box. in terms of opinion, what is called received opinion. And I think it's the role of journalism, the role of journalists, to challenge people in power, to question those embedded assumptions. For example, whenever you hear any president or secretary of state or the war minister, euphemistically called the defense minister, the defense secretary, when they make certain claims about the right, the inherent right of the United States to invade or bomb any country in the world, as it is currently doing right now, while New Mexico is under, acute economic stress. Sophisticated bombers are carrying out attacks in Yemen, in Somalia, in Pakistan. The U.S. is involving itself heavily in the drug war, militarily involved in Honduras as well as in Mexico. Those embedded assumptions have to be challenged. There is no right to intervene on the level that the U.S. is claiming it has the right to, all in the name of spreading democracy and freedom and protecting the world, or in the case of Afghanistan, it even argued under Laura and George Bush that it was promoting some kind of feminist agenda.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the scale of lying is so monumental that to make incremental erosions into this mountain of calumny is extremely difficult. But that's why we need programs such as yours and, I dare say, alternative radio. And people need to call 428-1393, 428-1393, and put your money where your ears are. Right now you're listening to me, you're listening to Jason and Mary Charlotte, and, we're making very cogent arguments about why you should support KSFR. Come on, get off your bottom, or if you're standing, and give us a call right now. Let's hear from you. Let's know you're out there and appreciate this kind of programming, this kind of discussion and dialogue. It's happening right in your community. It's not happening in Fargo or Wauwatosa or any other place. It's happening right there in the Santa Fe area. So please give a call, 428-1393, 428-1393, and start off your day if you're just waking up or getting ready for work or whatever. Start off your day with a bang, and do something for your community by supporting KSFR.
A peaceful bang. 428-1393. We're talking to David Barsamian, host of Alternative Radio, and Jason Silverman of the CCA Cinematheque. And I think Mary Lynn has a message from the control room.
I do indeed. We have some more people to thank.
Yay.
One is, I was told it was Kaleika, but I'm wondering if it's that dancer.
Zuleika.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's her.
Yeah.
But it might not be.
I hope so.
And Meredith Spears.
Thank you.
Bill Brand.
Yay.
And the Anonymize.
Ah, the Anonymize, yes. 428-1393. You may, of course, always pledge in the name of Anonymous. You may also always pledge in the name of your mother, father, children, or animals. We've had a couple of people pledge in the name of their animals, and that is perfectly fine. 428-1393 is the number.
So, and if I could reveal about Jason Silverman, by the way, I know this is confidential information. He's a big New York Yankees fan, as I am. So you could also pledge on behalf of your favorite baseball team.
Excellent.
Or in memory of Mo.
Yeah, Mariano Rivera. One of the things that was pointed out in Bombs Over Tehran, which is the cover story in the Santa Fe Reporter, is this whole a trope that is endlessly repeated, that Iran has threatened to wipe Israel off the map. This comes up in thousands of times. I heard an All Things Considered interview with the Israeli ambassador to Washington, Michael Oren, recently, where he mentioned that phrase at least twice. Well, there's a slight problem with that phrase. It's completely false. It was never uttered. It has been constantly repeated. And as Goebbels has proven, and other propagandists as well, with constant repetition, you can convince people that a circle is a square and a square is a circle. No Iranian leader has ever mentioned wiping Israel off the map. They did say something to the effect that they hope that the regime in Israel disappears very much in the way the Soviet Union disappeared. That's very different from this kind of a menacing, militaristic formulation that is endlessly repeated and is used, by the way, as justification for a possible Israeli strike on Iran.
428-1393 is the number. David Barsamian, I'm glad you mentioned that the reporter article, Bombs Over Tehran, as you said, is the cover story of this week's Santa Fe Reporter, and there's an excellent interview in the reporter with David Barsamian and one of those old-fashioned time bombs on the cover, which is very cute. I mean, cute. 428-1393 is the number. And you will be here tomorrow night, David. You'll be driving or maybe flying. You'll be coming down to Santa Fe tomorrow to talk to us and to allow people not only to hear what you have to say about the subject in more depth than we can cover during this show today, but also to take questions from your audience. Is that correct?
Yes, it'll be at the Unitarian Church, 107 West Barcelona at 7 o'clock. And I'm particularly interested and gratified that this meeting has the endorsements from Occupy Santa Fe, Another Jewish Voice of Santa Fe, Vets for Peace, People for Peace, a social justice group, and the Unitarian Church. That's quite a lineup of community organizations that have endorsed this meeting. So I hope people turn out tomorrow. But right now, I hope people rush to their cell phones or to their landlines and call 428-1393 and show your support for KSFR.
So, David, you travel all the time and give these lectures. Do you think the alternative media, KSFR, and all its cousins around the country, do you think they have actual impact?
It's difficult to assess. I think, first of all, the effort is certainly worth it. I think it's really important, you know, in a time of tremendous cynicism and negativity, that there be positive actions, that there be affirmations of media independence. But, you know, cumulatively speaking, I think that there is an impact, there is an influence. You know, it is not major. It's certainly not influencing the political class, which operates in this country on behalf of corporations and the banks. It's not reaching them. But I think, you know, the Occupy movement has gotten a lot of energy from independent media, and we see, you know, how the internet is being used as an organizing tool, but also as a tool of information as well. So I'm optimistic. While we, you know, declaim the horrible state of corporate media, there's some, you know, very interesting things going on. For example, they're losing millions of listeners and viewers and readers as young people in particular move to independent media, move to sources that are not tied to corporate power and to the ruling elites and the banks and all the rest.
And especially young people whose lives really don't, the narrative of whose lives don't match the narrative that they're hearing from these sources. They're the ones who have these student loans that are bigger than a mortgage was when I got out of college, and who have this horrible job market that they're facing, and who basically see mass extinctions in the environment and see the natural resources and the natural beauty of our country being and of the world being eroded away, and who are looking at climate change, and they see all this stuff, and then they watch some kind of, as you say, you know, hair intensive program on television, and it just does not match what they're living.
Yeah, well, let me just give you one example of how ludicrous the corporate media is. And, you know, there are a million examples. Just turn on the radio or open up your newspaper or, watch TV. Just the other day, David Muir, who's the ABC anchor, had at least a 4 or 5 minute report on monkeys attacking someone in Australia. This person had gotten too close to a fence, and a monkey put out his or her arm and grabbed the guy's leg and pulled him under the fence and, you know, attacked him and this and that. And then there was an extensive interview with the zookeeper, you know, about how unusual this is, that, you know, monkeys are generally quite pacific, but when they feel threatened, they'll attack. And I'm wondering, why is this on? Why is this on national television? I mean, this is, at best, a three-second story, not the 4 or 5 minutes that ABC News, with all its resources, devoted to it. I mean, it's just preposterous, and that's why I say over and over again, the corporate media are a weapon of mass distraction. And
you know, there's an interesting, when you say this, I was having a conversation the other day with somebody who grew up under a military dictatorship in South America, and he was saying that whenever there was a show like that on the news, like something really stupid about how some celebrity redid their you know, shoe style or something like that, you knew that what that actually was that a real story was about to air and it had been censored. And so those shows were basically, once you could learn to read the code of those media, those were code for, we are keeping something from you. And the savvy in that country knew that there was something to be dug up and were able to do so. But the populace had no idea.
And now, you know, the latest scandal is the, focus of media attention is the Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise divorce. You know, what will the settlement be like? What caused it? Are Scientologists involved? I mean, all kinds of, you know, extensive analytical verbiage that is spent on an issue that is, should take about 1 nanosecond of our time.
You, I think that's too much, David.
1 nanosecond is too much.
I think it's a little too much.
All right, but you're never going to hear about that on the radio cafe, because Mary Charlotte,
not unless David talks
your
about
intelligence,
it.
Knows that you want to be informed and hear about real issues, not whether, you know, Tom is having an affair with someone else or Katie, you know, really doesn't get along with him, yada, yada, yada. 428-1393, 428-1393. Call right now. Show your support for KSFR, for the work that Mary Charlotte has been doing for well nigh a decade, isn't it?
I think it'll be 9 years this year.
Almost a decade. Yep. Yeah, you've been there, you know, Monday through Friday with these, you know, quality interviews, and you bring so much to the interview table yourself because of your extensive preparation.
428.
So, you know, I've been on a lot of radio shows, you know, and many of them are just winging it. You know, well, David, how are you today? How are things in Boulder? How are those fires hanging? You know, are they bothering you? And what's going on with Iran, you know, mispronouncing, you know, Iran, you know? Should we attack or not attack? And, you know, you could tell as soon as the person opens their mouth that, you know, they haven't done any kind of preparation, have not, you know, read up on the subject, and are just doing, you know, what I call WAAP, Wing and a Prayer Radio.
Right. You know, the number is 428-1393. We had the 428-1393. We had a flurry a little while ago and then quiet, and now I think the phone is beginning to ring. Mary Lynn?
Yes, and we have some thank yous.
Excellent.
Eileen Banachek contributed in honor of Epo the Parrot.
Oh, yay, thank you.
Jim Smith.
Thank you, Jim.
And another anonymous. And, you know, you're having a record-breaking number of calls during this show, and we'd love to see about another at least 10 or more phone calls coming.
Another 10 or more phone calls. Yeah, we're trying to reach our $1,200 goal. Last I checked, we were about 42% of the way there, and let's get it done because we want to reach at least half. I said, we've only got 9 minutes left. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get on it. 428-1393. Please support the Radio Cafe. David Barsamian, in terms of what you just said a moment ago, I had When I first started doing this show years ago, probably 2004 or so, I had the I had the great honor to have on the program former Secretary of the Interior Bruce Babbitt, who had written a book on land use in the United States, and particularly in the West. And I was kind of nervous about this interview because he was a former cabinet member and all this stuff. And so I read the book, and I stayed up late reading it, and we ended up doing a phone interview because he couldn't come in person, and we had a good conversation. And then I saw him later at Garcia Street Books where he was speaking, and he looks me up and down and says, "You read my book." I said, "Well, that's my job." And he said, "You wouldn't believe how many times you go into one of these really nice TV studios and people are being paid a lot of money and there's a lot of staff and it's 5 minutes before airtime and the host says, 'So, Mr. Babbitt, what do you want me to ask you?'"
And yes, that's all too typical. It's very important. I was glad to hear that comment that this is a record-breaking morning on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah.
Let's break those records. Let's go through the stratosphere. Let's do it right now. You can do it. It happens one at a time, 428-1393, 428-1393. You know, right there you have, I mean, Jason Silverman, Mary Charlotte, you know, two icons in the Santa Fe cultural and intellectual community who give so much to the community. And this is a way of saying, you know, thank you for all the efforts that you make. 428-1393, 428-1393. And I think, you know, it's really important that you call. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. If I can confess, for years and years, I used to listen to a community radio station in my hometown of New York. And it never occurred to me to respond to any of these requests from the radio station.
I know.
To contribute.
Right.
You know, I thought, well, let Rockefeller contribute. Let J.P. Morgan contribute. Let the people who have lots of money contribute. Well, the fact of the matter is that they don't. This is, you know, very much a community-based effort, and so those high rollers don't even know that KSFR exists. It's up to you. It's up to you, the listeners. Put your money where your ears are. Become a member right now or renew your membership. And it's a great way to start this Thursday morning. You know, you've done something for your community. Okay, I've heard all the arguments. You know, they really got it together. They've got it all this, you know, intellectual acuity and very well-formulated arguments. The fact of the matter is you're paying for a service. This station, of course, is not going to come and knock on your door and say, "Hey, do you use the radio? You have to give us money." There's a level of trust here which does not exist in any other kind of medium that I know of, because you can access, as I accessed WBAI in New York for years and years, without ever giving them a single penny. I mean, I've mended my ways now, you know, living in Boulder and participating in community radio with KGNU here, as well as doing benefit talks all over the country for community radio stations. It's a hugely valuable resource, you know, and in this era of corporate control, in this moment of massive propaganda and diversions, how discontent is being diverted. Oh, it's those, you know, it's those immigrants that are taking our jobs. You know, we're losing our homes here because of immigrants. Excuse me. Or it's those, you know, Muslims, you know, it's the Islamophobia that has exploded in the country since September 11th, you know, tapping into a very deep stream of xenophobia in the U.S. It's you know, it's none of those things. It's about a political class that works 24/7 on its to further its own interests, and a media which propels those interests by repeating them, by reifying them constantly. So we have this tsunami of propaganda, and the Radio Cafe is this one island, it's this shining, bright little place where you can get real information, where you can hear real voices, you know, not the kind of very banal spin that you get from professional speakers who, you know, reel off whole paragraphs at a time, you know, because they've pre-recorded what they're going to say in their brain, and they just hit a play button, and it all comes out. I mean, what you get on the Radio Cafe, you know, with these types of programs is quality, is real information that you can use. And to use a nutritional metaphor, these programs have fiber. They're good for you. It's not fast food. You know, the corporate media, another analogy I make is that it is like fast food. It fills you up, but at the end of the day, you're not only fatter and less healthier, you're more ignorant.
That's right. 428-1393, and we are 60% of the way to our goal. We've got another only 3 or 4 minutes to fulfill it. Jason Silverman.
One reason I give is it actually feels good.
It does.
You know, when I go... you know, to the Lensic and know that I'm a member, or to Site Santa Fe, or when I listen to KSFR and know that I've contributed, it feels like it's, you know, I'm an owner.
That's
right. You
know,
I've invested in something that's important to me, and I'm proud to be a part of these organizations and, you know, outlets that are doing the right thing for the community. It feels not like a responsibility, but a privilege, and it makes me proud to be here with all of these great organizations.
And I have to say, I'm really happy that a lot of people are calling, even if it's with smaller donations. I think of it kind of like voting. You know, it's not $1, one vote, like it is during Dogs versus Cats. It's actually one call is one vote for KSFR. And in a real democracy, one person, one vote in an informed democracy makes for a good democracy. 428-1393. And the numbers are climbing up little by little. And Mary Lynn.
Yes, some thank yous to get in quickly. Desiree Mays and Peter Hull.
Yay.
Jenny Hagenbotham.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Jan Willem Janssen.
Janssens. Yay.
And Joan and Gail Maxon Egerton.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Keep those calls coming. We want to get to our $1,200 goal. I think we can do it in the next minute and a half. David Barsamian is host of Alternative Radio, which airs on KSFR on Sundays at 1 o'clock, right after the wonderful blues show. And he will be in Santa Fe tomorrow night, the 6th. Is it tomorrow the 6th? Yes, the 6th of July, 2 days after our Independence Day. And think of it as your patriotic duty to be informed, to hear people like David Barsamian speak at 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Church here in Santa Fe, and to listen to KSFR and the BBC and Bill Dupuy. And in terms of my show, I'm glad people like it. My feeling is make the world a better place and have fun while doing it. 428-1393. And Jason Silverman, who is the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA here in Santa Fe, thank you for being with us, too.
It's a great honor.
428-1393. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. And if you're listening, so much the better. You can also donate online. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc. You can reach me at... never mind, it's time to go. Bye.